and lots more in between. I'm Nick Spitzer. Join me for American Roots from PRX.
Coming up Friday afternoon at 1 on KRVS.
You're listening to KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles, a public service of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. Find us on Facebook at KRVS Public Media.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to The Exchange. This is Cheryl Castile, and today we have a number of folks in the studio today, a couple of them that we're really going to be focusing on, but we're going to focus on all things Creole today because next Sunday, well, this coming Sunday, June 10th, out at Vermilionville, they will be doing the Creole Culture Day, and I am thrilled today that we have a woman who's been involved in doing a number of Native crafts for years. She has grown up in the business. We have Miss Daphne Walker. So welcome, Daphne.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here. And we have this year's honoree, although we like to honor him every day that we can. But each year, the Catalan family has somebody that is honored within the Creole culture, and we have him in the studio today, Mr. Goldman Thibodeau. So welcome, Goldman.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Happy to be here with y'all.
Yeah, it's great to have you here.
Thank you.
All right.
That means the world to me. You know, when I find out about all this, I was telling Mrs. Walker right here, it brought tears to my eyes. No sorrow tears, happy tears.
That's right. And those are good tears to have.
My God, yes. So I will try my best to fill in and try to whatever you're going to throw at me, see if I can handle it.
There you go. Well, we're also going to listen to some live music. And it's great today because you brought the woman who has played guitar with you now for about 13 years. We have Courtney Fuller here. So yeah. I'm so glad that you could join us. So that's wonderful. And then representing Vermilionville, we have Rochelle Duga. So welcome, Rochelle.
Hi.
All right.
Hi,
it's good to have you here. Well, Miss Daphne, I'm going to start out with you. Now, what you focus on for Native crafts is kind of the term that a lot of people use for those, but for a lot of people, it was just what people did for fun.
It
was work. It was you called it everyday work?
Everyday work.
You come from a family that was involved. You do corn shuck dolls. Do you do things with okra?
No.
You do any of that? Okay.
Man.
All right. What else besides the corn shuck dolls that you do?
I make corn husk dolls, the little clothespin doll, spoon doll, rag dolls. And occasionally I'll make a little sawdust doll.
What's the sawdust doll?
The sawdust doll is just a cloth doll that's sewn around the edges and filled with sawdust.
Oh,
you have to use
so
what was available to you.
Sure.
You know, you do wood crafts, you have sawdust left over.
Yeah.
Use it for something worthwhile.
You know, it's interesting now because all the push you hear with recycling and the reuse of materials, that was a way of life back then.
Yes, it was.
It was before those terms came. That's right. It was the only way of life before those terms came into use. So, the other part of that, though, is you're quite an incredible seamstress that you've gotten to be over the years, too.
Yeah. Unfortunately, at Vermilionville, I was tossed into 1790. I lost 100 years, so my clothes
you
have to be
tossed into
sewn.
Yeah. So that's the time period. And I want to mention that when people go out to Vermilionville, are you there every day doing demonstrations?
5 days a week.
Okay.
Tuesdays through Saturday.
Okay. Tuesday through Saturdays. And so you were thrown back into 1790.
I work in the Broussard kitchen.
Yeah.
And I tell the history of the home. And then I incorporate my crafts, letting them see me work on pine needle baskets most of the time.
Yeah.
They take the longest to make, so that's what I'm mostly working on because I have to get those out for the gift shop.
Okay. So let's go back.
Okay.
How did you learn to do all of those different things? Who taught you?
My mom is Geraldine Robertson, and she was the fourth generation who decided she was going to sell the crafts on a larger scale.
Ah.
Being that she had five daughters at home, she put us on an assembly line.
Ah, okay.
So our dinner table, I remember working on crafts. I never remember eating at the table.
Yeah.
There was always corn shuck or clothespin dolls or something on the table that required us to, you know,
manufacture it.
So we would get up in the morning, you'd grab something for breakfast, most likely while you're running around grabbing your supplies, and then you sat there in that spot, and I made heads for a year.
So now let me ask you, did you grow up in the country?
Yeah.
And did you have cornfield? Did you have the crop that was your crop?
My uncle raised the corn.
Okay.
And so when they would harvest, they would take the corn and give us all the cobs and the husk and the silk, and we'd have to separate it and package it so it wouldn't be all messed up. And so my mom would let us, you know, pick out the clean stuff to make the dolls.
Yeah.
The ugly stuff was used for something else.
Yeah.
But you use every part of that corn cob.
Yeah.
You know, so I learned to recycle.
Yeah, that's right. And you know what I love? What you just said about, and the ugly stuff got used for some. It wasn't the ugly stuff got thrown away.
No. If I have a little piece, it could be like a couple centimeters, you know, big. I'm going to find a use for that. It has to be so tiny that you can barely see it with your natural eye when you throw it away. Fabric, I will use it till there is no end.
Yeah.
I can wear out the shirt. It's falling apart around the arms. I'm going to make a rag doll out of that.
There you go.
You know, and use the ugly part on the inside of the head, you know.
Now, what were the heads made out of?
You take the corn husk and you ball it in a knot. You tear out, you tie a knot first, and you wrap it again, tie it again, and you just keep doing it so you get a size head you want.
Okay.
And there are like five different size dolls that we make.
Yeah.
So you had different sizes. So my little grandson, when he's around, I give him little strips, he tie them, he'll make the little ugly knots, and I'll be looking at him like, wow, I'm going to have to work on that.
Yeah.
And my little granddaughter, she'll see it, and she's like, well, I'm going to fix it, Nanny. Just leave him alone. I'm like, okay. He'll take like little twigs off the bamboo.
Sure.
We make fishing poles for the little guys, brooms, mops.
Yeah.
Everything that we can, you know, what we do, they got to do the same thing.
Well, now, with corn, and, you know, this is my ignorance here with corn, do you have to let those husks, do they have to dry, like, in a certain temperature, or is there, you have to be careful of moisture or damp areas or anything?
Well, as long as they dry, totally. And usually, if you get them green, you lay them out in the sun.
Okay.
A single layer and let them dry.
Yeah.
And it was always a little kid around. You send them outside to flip them over.
yeah.
You know,
while
everybody had
there.
A job. You know, go flip that over, baby.
Yeah.
Every last one, just turn it over.
Yeah.
Then you have a week or so later, they're completely dry, and by the time they dry, they curl up.
Oh, yeah.
Then you got to wet them and reshape them.
Oh.
Yeah, the joy.
Yeah.
So that was my job for a while. But I used to get creative with it, and my mama decided to move me up to another level. She's like, okay, you got issues. We got to make you do something else now. You can move on to basket weaving. I'm like, oh, God, weaving and weaving chairs. We did it all. Upholstery, you know, the basket weaving from the white oak tree with my stepfather.
Oh, so you would do the white oak, too?
Yeah, they would send me in the woods to cut a tree like I was a boy. I'm like, I am no lumberjack. And nowadays, when they see me at family gatherings and I'm acting like a dude, and they're like, hey, you got on a dress, act like a girl. I'm like, I don't have practice acting like a girl.
That's right.
And my daughter always says stuff like, my mom is not very motherly. She's not the feminine type. She loves you to death, but she's not the mother to all that hugging. Same old thing. I'll wave at you from a distance. I love you, baby.
But boy, she made a good doll.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they love my doll. They like my work.
So you did the white oak for the chairs and the baskets?
Chairs, the big porch rockers. You do the top and the bottom. You'd weave it, you know, in a nice little pattern.
Yeah. What were the frames of the chairs made out of? What would you use?
They were already done.
Okay.
Most times it was somebody needing their chairs repaired.
Oh, just to, okay.
Oh, yeah. And it's... Most of the times you'll see, like, passing in the country homes, you'll have porches with the big rockers.
Sure.
Those, you can, once you the old seat is worn and torn, you take that out and just weave it.
Okay.
It's just a skill. I mean, I learned it at 7, so anybody can pick that up. It's not hard.
Yeah.
You just have to pay attention to detail.
That's right. You know what I think sometimes, though, with some of that is... is when you're young like that, I think it's the same with instruments, is when you learn at that young of an age, you don't have a lot of the thoughts that go through your brain as you do as an adult learning a craft, because and I'll speak from experience trying to learn crafts as an adult, you know, it's, oh gosh, I can't do this right, or this doesn't look good. I think when you're a kid, you just kind of do it. It's a good time to learn things.
As a kid, you don't have those thoughts in your head at all that I can't do it.
Exactly.
I'm going to try.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to try, you want to learn.
Yeah.
And you see everybody in the house and the family doing it. Every time I go to my grandma's house, she's sitting there weaving a basket. I'm like, okay, everybody's always busy, so I guess I'm going to get busy too.
That's right.
And till today, I have like 16, 18-hour days. When I go to bed at night, I totally pass out.
Yeah.
And then it's at 6:30 in the morning, it's time to go again.
Yeah.
You know? So my grandkids be like, Nanny, you don't ever stop. I'm like, well, stop and do what?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't want to sit still. If I sit still like this right here, it's killing me.
So we see, you should have brought some things to work on today. Give her that accordion, Goldman.
It's
let
just
her have
messy.
It.
My work is messy.
Now, I want to talk about an experience that you had as a 13-year-old, because it's an experience that a lot of people just in life in general don't have. But you got to take a trip to the Smithsonian when you were 13. Can you tell us about that, how that all came about?
Well, my family was commissioned by the Smithsonian to go to Washington, D.C., do a 2-week exhibit where we set up and demonstrated our work. My father was making white oak baskets. Mm. I had a sister that was doing one type of chair weaving. I was making the little corn husk braids to weave another type of chair.
Ah.
And I went from that to the corn husk dolls. They would have just, I'd go from spot to spot.
Sure.
Because I knew how to do everything, because I couldn't play outside.
Yeah.
I'm allergic to sunlight, unfortunately.
Ah, okay.
So that kept me inside. So when we were there, I was like the youngest that was commissioned to do the work. And the only thing I basically remembered from that trip, they kept pulling me down off the Lincoln Monument. I kept climbing it.
Yeah.
It didn't register then that it was something that was important.
Sure.
And looking back at it, you know, after I was a grown woman, I'm like, hey, that was a nice, you know, ordeal.
That's right.
But, yeah. And now I do work with the local learning program here with the Smithsonian and the Acadian Arts Council.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
And work at Vermilionville every day.
Yeah.
You know, just bridging the gap is like I'm stuck in 1790.
Yeah, yeah.
I go home, my kids grab me and shake me and say, Mama, come back to us.
Well, and I do have to say, which was so great, because that was the thing when I was trying to figure out if I had met you before, and the first thing you said was, I generally have a bonnet on my head and an old dress, you know?
Well, the guy, when we were leaving today, Quinn, he looked at me, and I said something to him, and he didn't respond. And normally he's quick to respond, and she said, I guess he don't recognize you. I'm like, nope,
right.
He doesn't. He hasn't seen me this way.
That's right.
This morning he saw me, he said, oh, you have hair.
Yeah.
I'm like, what do you mean by that? I always had hair, always under the bonnet.
It's under the bonnet, yeah.
So I don't come looking one way and have to get dressed the other way. I just come there ready to go.
That's right. Well, now, Mr. Goldman, you have done a lot of demonstrating in your years, showing your craft.
A lot of stuff, and a lot of stuff. But the best part I still remember, and I was happy, and I grew up in a family, and it's, you had to learn to do different things, you know.
Yeah.
Life was, it was a good life, but it's kind of tough, but no regret, I was happy.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Still love to talk about them and share this.
Yeah. Well, can you play us a song, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit about the history of you getting involved in music?
Okay, I think we can do that.
Sure, what you going to play?
Yeah, we'll give it a try. See what we can do. See, like Ray Charles had told Willie Nelson, help me with this thing. With it.
Well, good thing we got Courtney here today, huh?
Yeah. I said we're going to try... Mr. Leroy.
Oh, I was hoping you'd play that one.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah. What song is this?
Mr. Leroy.
Okay.
We recorded that song, and my father-in-law, his name was Leroy.
Yeah.
Teresa Dad.
All right.
Donnez-moi là, Monsieur Leroy, donnez-moi là.
C'est la seule que moi je voudrais pour faire ma fin. Moi de la dame, Monsieur Leroy, dans tout mon cœur. Si c'est pas elle, Monsieur Leroy, j'en veux pas du tout. Monsieur Leroy, c'est la seule, moi je voudrais pour faire ma femme. Moi de la laine, Monsieur Leroy, dans tout mon cœur. Si c'est pas elle, Monsieur Leroy, j'en veux pas du tout.
Thank you. If you're just joining us, this is The Exchange, and my guest today, who you just heard playing, was Mr. Goldman Thibodeau, and we also have Miss Daphne Walker in. They're all representing Vermilionville today, and we also have Rochelle Duga talking about the Creole Culture Day that is coming up next Sunday, June 10th. So, Mr. Goldman, you started playing the accordion a bit older, though. You didn't pick it up as a kid.
The accordion. But I want to go way back. I had a brother-in-law married to my sister, my oldest sister. And he was a good accordion, never did record, play way back, and all that was lost and nothing but. And he'd play, he was a good accordion, but he'd never sang. He'd never heard him sing. He was something like Paul Calvin, he never would, but he was good accordion. And he had me, it was the washboard.
Ah.
The one you wash clothes on.
Yeah,
nah, they got it, it's all way different. And some particular song you wanted me to use the washboard. Some particular song you wanted me to use the triangle.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I guess different tune, different key. And I'd do the both of them and do the vocal. I was 15 years old.
Ah.
Go around and play house dances.
So your first instruments were percussion and your voice?
It was doing the vocal, washboard, and triangle. A lot of people want to call them the T5, whatever you call them. And go around and play house dances, me and him and my sister, in the buggy. Riding in the buggy, people would come down the wagon.
Now, would your sister play music too, or was she just going with you?
No, she'd just come with her.
Yeah.
She wouldn't play, and she wouldn't do no vocal either. And at a late, early age, I don't know, man, I had too many to drink, run into him, and he lost his life.
Mm.
And all that was gone. Only one song, and I don't know, probably I played it last Saturday, maybe I shouldn't have played it.
I hope
somebody...
People need to hear that song.
Yeah,
People need to hear that song.
Yeah, they need to hear that song.
Preserving
it's
important.
And,
What song was that, Goldman?
Well, he would call it Poor Hobo. Paul Hobo. That was his favorite tune.
Yeah.
He'd never play. Before the gig was over, he'd make sure he had played it at least a couple of times, you know. From the mostly, gigs was about 3 hours.
Yeah.
But after he was playing, I say about 45 minutes, well, he'd make sure he'd played. And before it was all done, he'd do it one more time again.
Can you guys do that song for us?
Yes.
Can you and Courtney play that song? And this is Poor Hobo?
Poor Hobo.
Who wrote that song? Do you know?
I don't know.
Who did
I
that
heard
way
him
back?
With it.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
I had never heard this song until a few months ago. We were playing at Vermilionville, and Mr. Goldman said, let's try this one. And we all, you know, learned it
chimed
right
in.
There.
Yeah.
I love this song.
Yeah. So. All right.
One day he brought it up, he said, oh, I remember what
Pas de place pour aller, comment que moi je vais faire? Pour moi c'est ici, oui dans tant de misère. Pas de place pour aller, comment que moi je vais vivre ma vie? Et j'ai pas de place pour aller, pas d'argent non plus. La raison c'est pas d'argent, mes parents n'ont pas quitté. Pour aller, mes parents veulent pas moi, comment je vais vivre ma vie? Pas d'argent non plus, mes parents n'ont pas quitté. Comment que moi je vais faire, c'est comme un pauvre hobo. Comme un pauvre hobo, t'as pas de place pour aller. Mais moi seul les misères, comment je vais vivre ma vie?
Guitar. That was Mopov?
Paul Hobo. I guess you come.
Yeah, what's that? What is that story talking about?
Well, a hobo, I remember when I was youngest, when he was small, and we'd talk about it. He wouldn't say, he said, oh, what that is? He called it a haba. He said, that's a haba. And a hobo, years ago they had, you hardly see that no more. They had people, especially those who were living like on the highway and one night in a different place, and most of the time they was walking on the railroad, and they'd stop and ask people if they were hungry to give them a sandwich, a peanut butter sandwich or anything they could to give them. Part of the time maybe a sweet potato and a glass of milk. People would milk cow, and that's what it was all about. Then it was lit, and then they had a big bag on there, you know, and whatever, it get dark. Well, they try to find them an old abandoned house or old abandoned barn, and they'd stay there and stay over. And so that's why, I guess, now, if it was recorded, I guess that's how it started, I guess, by the things they do and ask for food.
Yeah.
I remember one time, I'm not going to name, it was one, and he stopped, and the man's wife She didn't believe in sharing with nobody. So when he got there, the hobo was leaving the guy. So he asked, he said, did you get something to eat? He said, no. He said, the madam said she didn't have nothing. He said, hold on. He went in there. He said, don't do that. He said, fix him something.
Yeah.
Whatever he said you got. And he brought it to him. He said, come on in. No. He said, I'm okay. He stayed on the porch. He said, you'd like something to drink? He said, how about a glass of milk? He said, I'd appreciate that. And that's how they'd make, I don't know.
That's right.
That was the hobo.
That's right.
Yeah. And a lot of people call him a tramp.
Yeah.
You know? But most of the family was hobo.
Do you know, back where I grew up in Wisconsin, my one grandmother, she lived right down the railroad tracks. Mm-hmm. And they would mark her house behind one of her shrubs because she was somebody who would hand out some food.
Oh,
and so then there would always be a knock, and they knew the whole routine of what they had to do, you know, knock on her door. And,
oh, my God.
Yeah.
And, this is one thing I think a person should never, regardless if it's a piece of bread or glass of milk, whatever, somebody, share it with somebody.
Yeah.
Don't ever tell them you can't, you know. And the good Lord going to reward you with way more.
That's
a lot
right.
of people say, well, it'll put me short. Don't ever feel that way.
Yeah.
You're going to gain the good Lord if you feed somebody with need and hungry can help him
That's
if you
right.
do it. Sometimes it's impossible. You can't. But you'll never lose that.
That's right.
You'll gain.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you talk about, we're gonna switch gears a little bit. You're talking about sharing. You started sharing in a band with Mr. Dalton Broussard.
Yes. Dalton become a good year friend of mine. We are Teresa and I, Calvin, and Calvin wife, Valentine.
And that's Calvin Carrier we're talking about.
Calvin Carrier, yeah. And we'd go to Dalton and meet Dalton, and oftentimes Dalton and his wife would come at the house. Next time was at Calvin and them house, and Teresa, and they did share, and we'd play music, and an art player was still washboard. And trying, but Dalton wouldn't particularly anyone. I think he'd prefer better the washboard. And he did tell me, and do vocal. And he'd tell me oftentimes, he said, why don't you try it? He said, hear my accordion. But I was always afraid. I had never put one in my hand. I said, no, Dalton. I said, if I'd know how to play, I'd love to. But I said, I don't think so. And I knew it. I couldn't do it. It took time, you know, before. And it went on down, so one time I said, well, I'm going to try that. And I was looking for the cheapest accordion I could find because the money.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
If you're going to spend the money. Now, if you're a musician and know you can play, mm-hmm. say, well, I'm going to make a little money with this thing.
Yeah.
But if you...
you have no idea what's
no
going to happen.
Yeah. And so I left, and Teresa and the boy said, Daddy. She said, why don't you get you one? We can afford it. So I was looking for a used one or the cheapest accordion bill I could find. So the cheapest one was in a little community between Eunice and Church Point they called Richard.
Yeah.
And Eldon. Eldon do say. So I went and his wife was out there hanging clothes on the line with her and the kids. So I went, the shop was open, but it was nobody. So she said, can I help you, sir? I said, yes. So I was looking for an accordion. She said, Eldon is going to Crawley, pick up some parts. She said, if you get to talking with somebody, it might be a long time. And I said, I was looking for a used accordion. She said, I don't know. I said, wait on him. So I wait a little bit. And the hardest thing, she said, you're a musician. I wish she should have never asked that. I had never had one in my hand. Yeah. She said, you're an accordion? I said, no, ma'am. I said, I'm embarrassed, I said, at my age to be looking for no accordion. She kind of laughed. She said, may I ask you one thing? She said, when you're in the yard peddling, working in the garden, can you whistle and tunes and sing? Yes, ma'am. I said, I do that with a lot of band. I said, I've done it with my brother-in-law. I do it with my good friend, Dalton Broussard, Calvin, Dad, and Bebe Ross played accordion. And she said, what about dancing? Waltz and two-step. I said, oh, yeah. I said, me and my wife, I said, we won trophy dancing. She said, you got a good chance at it.
There you go.
She said, I know a gentleman from Brobridge, bought one from Elton. She said, he was 72 years old, and she said, he's doing very well. Boy, that made me feel good.
Yeah.
And so I bought it. And no, I didn't. I said, I'll come back. Yeah, where is this? I said, I'm going to come back. I said, probably this afternoon or tomorrow. So the next day I went. So Teresa and one of her cousin and his wife, he said, I told him about this. I'd like to go. He said, I might decide to get me one. He couldn't play either. So they come, and we bought each one. And when we got back, Teresa had an uncle at the house. He said, that's a put in the cauldron. I had it on a chair. He said, who that's for? I said, that's for me. He said, that's for you. He said, but he said, you don't know nothing about that. I said, no. Oh, he said, how much you spent for that cauldron? I said, $350. That was a lot of money way back.
Oh, yeah.
He said, you give that man $350 and he said, you can't play. Well, I said, hopefully I'll pick up something. I said, and if it's not, I said, maybe the boys will pick it up. Well, he said, don't you think if you went by the commission bone, he said, buy you, he said, $350. Cattle was cheap at that time. He said, you could have bought three nice calf, fed, corn-fed calf for that. And he said, one at the time, he said, have it brought to the slaughterhouse. And then when meat run out in the freezer, you want it. Bought on, you had $350, you could have paid for three nice fed calf. So I said, then I went to where and I said, probably you're right, but he said I should have done that. Okay, so about 3 months later, came back, I was in the room, so he paid attention. I was fooling with the with the cauldron. So Teresa told me, said, Uncle Forrest is over here. So I come. He said, you know, I believe I'm going to change mine on you. He said, yeah, I believe you got hope. He said, I believe you're going to make it, but only if the dog don't eat you. I said, my God, what do you mean by that? You
know? Yeah.
He said, if the dog don't grab and eat you, I think you got a chance at it.
Yeah.
And I kept going. It was bad, you know.
What was it? If you made such a horrible sound, the dog would...
Yeah, I guess so. So it was this lady, she'd pass every day. She'd pass every day. She'd pass 15, 20 minutes at the house. But she wouldn't stay that long.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
You know what, Mr. Goldman? We're gonna take a little break here, and we're going to play. I'm going to give you a chance to take a couple sips there. But we're going to play a cut off of your CD with
That's
you and
good.
Kelvin. We'll show
good.
People how far you came.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can see, so if we can put on that Madame Fayel. This is you and Kelvin.
Madame Fayel, just Kelvin and the rest of the band, and I'm doing the vocal.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
And it would mean the world to me, listen to Kelvin and each and every one.
All right.
Kelvin was like a brother to me.
That's right.
Yes, I love him. When I name his name, my God, yes.
All right, let's listen to the song, Madame Fayel.
Oh, Madame Fayel, donnez moi, Célina. C'est pas Célina, j'en veux pas du tout. Oh, Madame Fayel, donnez moi, Célina. C'est la plus canard. Oh, Madame Fayel, donnez-moi Célina. Oh!
right. That was Goldman Thibodeau and Calvin Carrier. That was Madame Fayel. If you're just joining us, this is The Exchange on KRVS 88.7 FM on the web at krvs.org. Make sure you check out the website. You can find news, international, national, local, regional news on there. Plus, you can catch up on some of your favorite programs you haven't heard. I always tell people, pick out one of the programs you've never listened to before, maybe because of the time of day it's on, or you just never thought to listen to it, and take a listen, because there's a great variety of shows that's on the station here. And there's also a place that you can support the station, because we are community supported. So it's a... It's a very secure website, too, and you can find that from the homepage. But our guests today, if you're just joining us, are Goldman Thibodeau, Daphne Walker, and we're going to pull on the mic right now, Miss Rochelle Duga, who is with Vermilionville. So welcome, Rochelle.
Thank you.
And life started for you where?
Life started for me in Nova Scotia in Canada.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
So I've come from far.
And you've come just for the show today.
Yes.
<see? laughs> Yeah. I'm all the way for the show. No, you've been down here for how long? I mean, you've been down here for other projects, but...
Yes, I did. The first time I moved here to live here was for 2 years. I worked on Louisiana's bid to try to get the Congrès Mondial Acadien to be here in 2014.
Yeah.
So I worked for 2 years on that. Unfortunately, our bid was not successful.
Yeah.
And so my husband, who is from here, and I moved back to Canada. But he could not take the winters up there.
Yeah.
So
so you have to take the summers now.
Yes, which it's kind of hard. That's, actually,
it is.
I would prefer having the cold.
I'm with
and
you
the hot.
On that one. Yeah.
So yeah, this will be my first full summer here.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, thanks.
I mean, as somebody who didn't grow up here, I remember what it was like getting used to the summers, and I still get used to them.
It's quite difficult.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a whole different thing. So if you can tell, at Vermilionville now, this Sunday, we do have the Creole Culture Day coming up.
Yes, Creole Culture Day is one of our three culture days. They are our free days. We hope that they're really created to celebrate the different cultures that we celebrate at Vermilionville.
Yes.
So we invite the public to attend all of the events. It's open from 10 to 5. And we've got different things this year. We have, obviously, occupational crafts like we do every day at Vermilionville. Daphne and her family is going to be there. We also have the Henrys. Rebecca and Nia will be there talking about traditional healing practices. And we've also got the Master Gardeners, who started a healer's garden at Maison Acadienne in Vermilionville. They'll be there doing tours of the garden and distributing a guide.
That's fabulous that you started that garden.
It is a great addition to the village. So we have our occupational crafts in the homes. We also have crafts for kids, so they can learn to make their own rag dolls. I'm sure they won't be as perfect in the right size head, but and then we also will be doing some printmaking and Creole flag workshops. The entire event is organized in collaboration with Creole Inc., an organization, a local organization here, and they will also be putting on all kinds of different activities in our schoolhouse. So games like tops and marbles and hopscotch, and trying to teach the kids sort of the old games too, and how that worked.
Well, and it's interesting how many, I remember being at an event one time when a lot of those things were being played, and how many kids today had no idea what some of that was and had not heard of that, you know, and had never played hopscotch before.
Yeah, and just differences too, because I grew up playing hopscotch,
exactly,
but with rocks, and they said, well, no, you don't play with rocks, you play with pieces of glass.
Ah.
I had no idea.
See, now
so,
I grew up with the rocks with that one.
See?
Okay.
So there are different aspects to everything, I guess.
Yeah.
So they're going to be in the schoolhouse all day doing interpretation of old games and things like that, and also storytelling. And we've got a few new people coming in this year. Mr. Joseph Lewis, who is an artist and created a big sculptural piece describing the history of African Americans in the area.
Wonderful.
So he's going to be interpreting his piece.
Yeah.
And Bryant Benoit, Dumas, who is a local Creole artist here that has his own gallery. He does more contemporary art, but he's going to be there as well. And for the first time, we're doing two new things, sharing circles. Instead of having an actual talk by an expert, we decided to bring anybody who wanted, who had something to share, stories to share, together.
Nice.
So we're going to have one on language and one on traditional healing. And we have some interesting people, really a lot of older people that have confirmed that they'll be coming. One older lady, her name is Cinderella, and she's 93 years old, and she's going to be coming to talk about her healing tricks.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, I think it's going to be a fun part of the day, and we're working right now to try to find volunteers, maybe volunteer videographers, to help us document that whole aspect of the day, because it would be sad not to have that somewhere recorded.
That's right.
And I hope Mr. Goldman will participate. We're also having a Creole music jam in the village during the afternoon from noon to 4, and Corey Lede is going to be leading it, but we're inviting all sorts of musicians to join in. And the goal of that was for older songs and styles to be passed down to younger musicians who are interested in sort of that pure sound. So we're hoping that works out too.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, what a great day. I mean, you've really kind of covered the gamut for anybody.
And
you
we've
know,
also
to
got
enjoy.
Our regular, you know, bands in the Performance Center.
That's right.
And then we have the big event at 11 where Mr. Goldman will be receiving his award.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. And if you know, anybody out there hasn't been to Vermilionville before and in the Performance Center, incredible, incredible wood floor for dancing. The acoustics in that Performance Center are wonderful. And the whole village is a great place. So, you know, take some time to get out there. I'm going to have you swing the mic back over to Miss Daphne here. So you're going to be out there demonstrating that day. You made some comments when Mr. Goldman got done playing music about music in your life growing up.
Right. As a little toddler running around the yard, Clifton Chenier would be in the yard playing with my grandfather, Hillman King. And it wasn't nothing spectacular to us then. Like Rockin' Sidney, he's my first cousin. So, you know, it's all music. You know,
that's
it
right.
was always right there in your face. And I couldn't stand it growing up. I'd run from it every time they got started. And after I got older, I kind of like, you know, went back to it. And now listening to Mr. Goldman play, I mean, it brings back so many memories of them, you know, playing on the porch.
I bet.
You know, and it's nice.
You know, it's funny, though. You know, you tell that story. Do you know how many people today would love to have traded a place with you to be sitting there listening to those folks back then?
They always call me the ungrateful, mouthy little kid. Get out of there. They put me in a corner.
But, you know, that's so much of it, though, when you're a kid. I mean, sometimes, you know, you hear so many people talk about that was old people's music. You know, I don't want to listen to that. And
well, and I was like 3 and 4 years old, but I was always opinionated.
Yeah.
They wasn't used to that in that family.
Yeah.
Nowadays they look at me like, and they come in like wondering what's going to come out of my mouth, and I'm
what's
like,
"What's going to come out next?
Yeah, we're going to see."
That's right. Now you have passed these traditions on.
I have 3 grown children that knows how to do the work. My son will never do it because he's lazy.
We hope he's not listening today.
He knows he's lazy. He's pretty like his dad, so we can deal with that. The 2 girls, they know how to do the dolls, the chair weaving, and the basket weaving. And the baby girl, her daughter, Deja Marie Goff, she's going to be the one that's going to really take it and run with it.
Ah.
She knows how to collect all the materials.
And how old is she?
8 and a half.
She's 8 and a half now.
She's a nervy little kid like myself.
Too
mouthy, but she knows how to collect the materials. She knows what time of year to get the, you know, the corn husks and the pine straw to lay them out
fabulous.
To cure them. So she gathers all kind of little stuff when she comes to work with me. And they come back with all this stuff that looked like trash and just put it on my table. Look, Nanny, I'm like, oh, wow, where'd you find that?
Yeah.
Most time it has to be washed because it's like acorn caps that have been pounded in the mud.
Yeah,
the little boy digs
them
out and bring them to me. But we use them as little hats,
and that's great. And, you know, for her creativity, too, you know, to see all that stuff now, you know, to see a hat and that acorn cap,
well,
you know?
Yeah, you know the little porcupine-looking thing that comes from the gum tree?
Uh-huh.
It looks like a little goblin or something. But she'll take those and she'll say, hey, Nanny, we can use these as flower centers.
Ah.
So it's going to be a porcupine. Like a, it looks like a little porcupine. But we do. We take those little bulbs that hold the cotton, the bowl.
Yeah.
You take the cotton out and you use that as a center too. You just have to cut those little corners off because it would take your finger coin.
It would take it right off.
Off.
Yeah.
But we use all kind of little knickknacks that grow around the village.
Yeah.
And we use them to make corn husk flowers, the little nativity scenes.
Yeah.
They sit there and curl the corn husk all day up to get one little pile to make one sheep.
Wow.
Keep them out of my hair, though.
See, but you know, it's nice, though, that you are using the materials from right there.
Right.
You know, at the place.
Well, we try to find some of it there.
Yeah.
My pine straw lately, most times there are people that come through, and they have long pine needles in their yard.
Okay.
They'll get them to me. And I am so appreciative to that because I lost my trees in Hurricane Lily.
Oh, okay.
The tops just all broke off.
Yeah.
So that was that for my own pine needles. So nowadays is whatever I get from people that come through.
Yeah. Yeah, so people are listening out there. You can always get rid of some of those at Vermilionville.
One guy came to Vermilionville with a truckload, and he didn't bag them or anything. They were just on the back of the bed of his truck, and he just pushed them out. And I'm like, wow, what do you expect me to do with this?
That's right. Well, go on out to Vermilionville this Sunday, and you can meet Miss Daphne. Now, you probably won't be meeting, you know, the son, because my guess is he's not going to show up.
Oh, no. He'll say yeah, but he'll never get there. He's always too busy. You got to love him. He's pretty.
But the pretty side of the family. All right. Mr. Goldman, can you grab that mic back here a minute?
Okay.
So you're getting an award. This is pretty good what you've done from going to figuring out should I even pay $350 to get this accordion, and now you're being given an award.
I have no regret. Good feeling.
Yeah.
That was the best investment I think I ever made.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
And Teresa and I, that what it does to us, it probably keeping our minds straight. You know, when you get certain in age, you need to leave the coop, the house. Don't just stay. You mangle with people.
Yeah.
And that's what keep you going.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't give this for the world.
Yeah.
We're doing something we love. And also, the band member, now, the oldest, Courtney is the oldest. Yeah. And, you know, playing as the day.
The longest running, not the oldest.
And, and so many others, like Okie Calvin. We grew up together. Calvin was a tough. I remember Calvin was in and out of the hospital. And then on the last, well, he was in a intensive care. I'd go see him every day, every other day. One day he told me, he said, you know something? He said, I'm tired. He said, I'm not going to fight this thing no more.
Yeah.
He said, it's time for me to let go. He said, and rest. He said, I can't no more. He said, I want to ask you something. You going to do it? I said, Calvin, I don't know. He said, what you talking about? I said, if it's something I can. He said, a lot tail playboy started, he said, from my dad, Eras, Bibi, and myself, and Beatrice, my sister. It was a family band. You see, Ras would play the accordion, my daddy. Bibi played the fiddle. Calvin would play lead. And his sister would play rhythm, guitar. And it's, I'd like for you to keep the name as long as you can, or pass it down to some of the family. The Lotel Playboys, it started in 1946. They were playing long before that, but they play under the porch and under the tree, and this when they decided that really they're going to go and play for the public, he said that the name they gave that in 1946. And that's the day. And then Calvin passed away 5 weeks later. James, a dear friend of ours, Jim Lashley, he lost his life 5 weeks after Calvin.
Yeah. He played guitar with
guitar.
You.
Yeah. And we all grew up together with him. Then, shortly after that, another guy played with me. No, that was before. That time, the Orel Joubert.
Yeah.
He played bass. He died his life with lung cancer. Right after James died, Danny Stanberry played scrub boat. He died. Right after that, the drummer, Russell DeVille, called me one morning. He said, "What you doing?" Oh, I said, "Russ." I said, "I'm all I called him Russ. Pelling in the yard." I said, "I just walk in to get me a sip of coffee and water." He said, "Maybe you could come over for a little bit." I said, "Yeah." And we what? Got in there. Russell was sitting there. It was about 10:30, 11 o'clock. Had his slippers, had his pajama on. I said, "Oh, no, that's not, that kid, that ain't Russell." So he looked at me, and he busts out crying. I said, Russ, I said, "What's the matter?" I said, "Put yourself together." I said, "I'm gone if you don't." We're crying. I said, "I don't know." He said, "No." He said, "We got along too well." He said, "Y'all too much good people." He said, "For me to tell you that over the phone." He said, "I won't be playing with you no more." Well, I said, "Russ," I said, "if you're going to play with some other band," I said, "long as we remain in friendship," I said, "that's okay." And he said, "No," he said, "only the doctor diagnosed I got 2 weeks."
Lord, yeah.
To live in. At one time, I kind of made up my mind to let that go. I said, "So many." And for a long time, when we get on there after we got somebody else's, look like I still would see her. We were together for so long.
That's right, yeah.
But as today, I'm happy. And I thank each and every one. People like Delton, dear friend, Calvin, Bibi. Even we'd go and dance to Boisek music. Great, 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 great accordion. And I'll never forget Mr. Boisek, I doing all those I name. And the late and great Army Dad doing. He's the grandfather of all.
You got to carry his accordion one time, didn't you?
That was the best. I'll never forget that. Me and my little friend was at a house dance a Sunday afternoon. And I heard the name Amadea Duane. My sister had his, they were growing up, and my brother had his record. That was the 78 RPM. He would drop it on the floor, that was all over. All the pieces. And they named the name Amadea Duane. So I knew he was going to play the gig, because then we were waiting. They had a lot of China ball tree, but I don't see that kind of tree no more. What they call it in French, le lila a parasol. It was a beautiful shaped tree. You don't see that kind of tree no more. And then we opened the gate for him. So he had his accordion in a white sack on the side. No case to put it in. He took it off. He put it on the ground. He took the saddle off his horse, put it on the, let his horse dry out onto the shade, took the saddle. So we asked him, said, "Mr. Amadea, would you let us pack your accordion?" He kind of smiled a little bit. He said, "Sure." And me and my little friend, we all grabbed each a piece, got an accordion. We were so happy. And when he got that owner of the house, he told him, he said, "Okay, how you doing?" "Okay." He said, "Walk in." He said, "You ready for me to start playing?" "No." He said, "Go ahead." He said, "And chat a little bit." He said, "I'll tell you." It was no fan, no electricity. Homemade wooden window. Homemade. And they put a chair right by the window. Looked like to me the chair was a tall chair. He was so tiny and short. I don't know if he'd wear 100 pounds. And it looked like battle. I can see his toes just battle would touch the floor. That was his rhythm, his backup. And he played for 3 hours.
Wow. What a thrill for you as a kid to have been able to do that.
Oh, my God, I had the pleasure to meet with him.
Well, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be thrilled to meet you this weekend. You know, those who are going to be meeting you for the umpteenth time and those who might be meeting you for the first time. I want to encourage everybody to go out to Vermilionville this Sunday, June 10th. Everything kicks off at 10 a.m. It will go till 5. And as Rochelle said earlier, there are things going on for the entire family. You can come and meet Miss Daphne. Walker, I'm so thrilled you came on today.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, it's so great, and I just love the whole way that you talk about the use of the materials. So you can go, and the kids can take part in different workshops that are going on. But congratulations, Goldman. We're glad that you're getting that honor.
Thank you all so much. Appreciate y'all having over, and I know Courtney feel the same way. And this past Saturday, we had Courtney and I, and we had Joe with us and John, so I want to thank each and every one of y'all so much.
All right.
Mean the world to me.
And Courtney, we've got you here today, so thanks for coming. Can we go out on a song, Goldman?
Yeah. I'd like to go out with a little tune. I love it. But nobody got the answer for that. I don't know what I'm a dear. Everybody sits still playing it. They call it Kofi.
All right.
Why? But what's behind it? I don't know.
This is Goldman Thibodeau, Courtney Fuller. Have a good week, everyone.
Que tu m'allais te voir tous les dimanches après-midi. Aujourd'hui, tes parents ne veulent pas que je vais te voir. Mais qu'en fait. Aujourd'hui, mon cœur fait mal rapport à ça. Pas copain tes parents me haïs autant. Ça veut plus que moi je vais te voir. Ajoutis mon cœur fait mal rapport à ça. Mais qu'on fait. Thank you.